Brachos Daf Samach Gimel. So the Mishnah says that you end the brachos in the base of Mikdash with the words Min HaOlam Vad Olam, meaning instead of saying Amen, you say Min HaOlam Vad Olam. So why? Because you're not allowed to say Amen in the base of Mikdash. Okay, so why not? Because the pasuk says that you bless Hashem Min HaOlam Vad HaOlam, and this is talking about inside the base of Mikdash. And based on the way the pasuk is written, you might think that you only say Min HaOlam Vad Olam after the last bracha in a series of brachos, like, you know, Birchas HaShachar in the morning, instead of saying after every single bracha, Hashem HaSan L'Sachvi B'Nah, you know, things like that, Shalos Niyavet, Shalos Niyagai, you would only say the Min HaOlam Vad Olam at the end of that entire series. But the pasuk says, Hashem is exalted over every blessing of praise, which teaches that you say Min HaOlam Vad Olam at every single bracha. Mishnah said that you greet friends with the name of Hashem. So why does the Mishnah have to bring so many psukim to prove this point? So we answered that the first pasuk is, you might have thought, which is about Boaz, that Boaz was only doing this on his own volition. You know, that doesn't prove anything. And the second pasuk, you might have thought it's a malach who's greeting someone with the name of Hashem. So you might have thought that the malach is different because they should. And so the third pasuk is teaching that we're supposed to follow the zakenim, meaning we should follow Boaz's, the way that he did it, and greet everyone with the name of Hashem. And the fourth is teaching that sometimes you have to go against Hashem's law to uphold his wishes, meaning even though you shouldn't really be using Hashem's name like that, it really is going to be a Kiddush Hashem, and it's better to do it. So Rava says you can explain that pasuk that we used, that you have to go against Hashem's law sometimes, as either you could say it's time for Hashem to act because they've nullified his law, or you could say they've nullified his law because it's time to act for Hashem. And either way, it makes sense. Brisa quotes Hillel HaZaken, who says that when Talmidei Chachamim don't share their wisdom, you should spread yours. But if Talmidei Chachamim are sharing their wisdom, then you should not spread yours. And if you see that Torah is dear to your generation, everyone loves it, then you should spread your Torah. However, if it's not dear to your generation, then you should not spread your Torah. Bar Kapper says, if merchandise falls in value, you should buy it a lot because eventually it will increase, so better to buy it at a lower price. In a place where no man is fit to issue Torah rulings, there's no one there who's fit to be ruling in Torah matters, then you should be the one to do it. Abaye says, however, if there is someone who's fit to make Torah decisions, then you should not be the one to do it. But it's obvious, right? You don't need to teach us the opposite case. It's clear from what Bar Kapper says. So Abaye is teaching that if there's someone who's equal to you, you still should not be the one to issue Torah rulings. Let him do it. Bar Kappa says, all the fundamentals of Torah are based on this pasuk of Bechol Drachecha Da'ehu V'hu Yashar Archasecha, and all your ways you should know him, and he'll straighten your path. Rava says, this teaches that sometimes you even have to do what's seemingly a sin for serving Hashem, which is like what we said in the Mishnah about, you know, blessing, greeting people with the name of Hashem. Bar Kappa has taught that you should teach your son an easy and a clean trade. And Rav Chista says, an example of this is like embroidering jackets. Rebbe says you should not have too many guests in your house. You also should not appoint an administrator, an apotropos, in your house. Why? Because Potiphar appointed Yosef to be an administrator over his entire house, and this caused the whole thing with Yosef and Potiphar's wife, so it's better to stay away from that. He says that Sota is juxtaposed to Nazir in the Torah because anyone who sees a Sota and her exploding the whole thing, going through the whole process, they should become a Nazir. Rav Yochanan adds that Sota is juxtaposed to Truman Meiser because if you don't give your Truman Meiser, then you're going to need a Kohen to do the Sota process. And furthermore, if you don't give Truman Meiser, you're going to become poor and you're going to need Meiser yourself. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, if you do give Meiser and Truma, then you'll become rich. Abelazar Kapar says, anyone who willingly accepts the bad from Hashem and davens for mercy, they'll double his parnasa, his money. Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, his parnasa will just fly to him like a bird, it'll come really easily. Rav Yoshia says that if you're lazy in Torah, then you're not going to be helped with your struggles. Shmuel says, even if you're lazy with just one single mitzvah, you're not going to be helped with your struggles. So Rabbi Abahu teaches a story that Hanina ben Achai Rabbi Yoshua went to Chutzaritz, went outside of Israel, and he started making leap years and leap months. And he started saying, like, there's a leap year, there's a leap month. And so they sent two Talmidei Chachamim after him from Eretz Yisrael. And Hanina said, who are you? What are you doing? They said, what are you doing here? And they said, oh, we've come to learn Torah from you. And Hanina said, oh, well, he announced to everyone that these are tzaddikim and that everyone should, you know, respect them. But then they started ruling against him. He would say, this is tahor, and they would say, it's tameh. He would say, this is aser, and they would say, this is mutter. He would say, it's mutter, they would say, it's aser. He would say, it's tameh, they would say, it's tahor, things like that, tahor, tameh. So he was getting very annoyed, and so he tried to denounce them and say, no, they're not actually tzaddikim, they're really, you know, they're nothing, don't pay attention to them. And they said, listen, it's too late, you already built us up, everyone respects us now. So he said, all right, well, why are you doing this? Why are you ruling against me? And they said, because you're making leap years and leap months outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is not allowed. It only has to be, you can only do it in Eretz Yisrael. And he said, well, Rabbi Akiva did this. He left Eretz Yisrael and he started making leap years and leap months. And they said, okay, well, forget about the case of Rabbi Akiva, because when he left Eretz Yisrael, there was no one equal to him in Eretz Yisrael. If there was someone equal to him in Eretz Yisrael, he would not have been allowed to be ruling, making leap years and leap months outside of Eretz Yisrael. So he said, well, when I left Eretz Yisrael, I didn't leave anyone equal to me either. So I should be fine. And he said, no, the Rebbeim, when you left the Rebbeim, they were younger and, you know, not as great Talmidei Chachamim. Now they've grown up and they're tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, and they've sent us to tell you to stop making leap years and leap months in Eretz Yisrael, or we're going to be forced to put you in Nidor. We're going to excommunicate you. And they also said, if all of Bnei Yisrael who live here in Chutz Lars don't listen to us in Eretz Yisrael, then you may as well just start doing Avodah Zarah, because they're showing that they want no portion on Hashem. They want nothing to do with him. And they all start crying like, yeah, of course we want a portion on Hashem. But anyway, we ask them this story that why couldn't Hanina just make leap years outside of Eretz Yisrael? What was the big deal? Why, you know, is that really such a big deal? And we said that even after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, still the leap years and leap months can only be calculated inside of Eretz Yisrael. So we asked, though, how could these Talmidei Chachamim, which came down to Eretz Yisrael, say that the things that Hanina ruled as Tameh were really Tahor, and the things he ruled Aser were really mutter, they were allowed, right? How could they make more lenient rulings? Avraham says that if a Talmid Chacham rules that something is Aser or Tamei, a more strict ruling, you're not allowed to go against it and rule more leniently and say that it's mutter or Tahor. So they had to in this case so that people would stop following him and he would stop making leap years and leap months. So Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nechemiah, and Rabbi Lazar ben Shel, Rabbi Yossi Haglili were in Yavne, and they all started praising their hosts, except for Rabbi Yehuda, who started first by praising people who learned Torah. He said, people who traveled to Moshe's tent to learn Torah, which was at most 12 mil, which is not crazy distance, the pasuk calls them Mevakesh Hashem, that they wanted Hashem. So all the more so, the Talmidei Chachamim who travel from city to city to learn Torah, how much more so do they want Hashem, and how great are they? So Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face. That's what the pasuk says. So Rav Yitzchak says, Hashem was saying to Moshe, let's show each other kind faces in learning Torah. And there are those that say that instead, what Hashem was saying is, just like I've shown you a kind face, you should show Bnei Yisrael a kind face and return your tent to inside the camp. Because basically after Chayta Egel, Moshe removed his tent from inside of the camp of Bnei Yisrael to the outskirts, and that's why people had to travel to his tent. And Hashem was trying to get Moshe to go back into the camp of Israel. So the pasuk says that you should return your tent to the camp. Rabbi Abbahu says, Hashem is saying to Moshe, what's going to be of Bnei Yisrael? They're going to think that both the master, me Hashem, and the student, you Moshe, are angry. Then that's not good for them. So rather, you should return your tent. If you do return it, it will be good for you. However, if you don't, Yehoshua ben Nun will replace you. And Rava says, yeah, in the end, he did actually replace Moshe, because whenever Hashem says something, you know, he sticks to it. Yehuda says, based on the pasuk of, on this day you became a nation, right? However, what does this mean, on this day you became a nation? They got the Torah 40 years earlier. Why are you saying that? So to teach that every day for people that Torah is dear to them, it's like they were at Har Sinai. It's like they got it at Har Sinai that day. So even though Har Sinai was 40 years earlier, since Torah was so dear to them, it's as if they got it that day. And Rav Tanchum Bar Rav Chia says, yeah, it's true. Anyone who says Shema every single day, two times a day, morning and night, if you miss one day, it feels like you've never even said in your entire life. So what does the word haskes mean in the pasuk that we quoted before? Basically means that it's teaching that you should make groups to learn Torah, because Torah is only acquired in a group of learning. Rabbi Yossi Bar of Chanina says the pasuk of there's a sword against those who are alone. It's teaching that those who study Torah alone, that, you know, it's a bad thing. There's a sword against them. Not only that, but they'll become foolish and it's a sin. So the rest of that pasuk is haskes v'shama Yisrael. It's teaching that you should exert yourselves to the maximum that you can for Torah. Reish Lakish says, you only acquire Torah if you like kill yourself over it. And there are those that say that you should listen to Torah silently and then you should grind it up, which is going like Rava, who's saying that, you know, first you should learn the Torah, you should be quiet, you should listen to what your Rebbe is teaching you, and then you should analyze it. Rav Yainai quotes the pasuk that the squeezing of milk is butter, which is teaching that you have to expend your entire essence to learn Torah. The pasuk continues, the squeezing of anger is blood, that if you're silent when your Rebbe gets angry at you, maybe he's getting frustrated, losing his patience, that, you know, you're not understanding. If you're silent when he gets angry at you, for the first time, you'll merit to judge Nida cases. And the rest of the pasuk says, the squeezing of double anger is dispute, which means that if you're silent the second time your Rebbe gets upset at you, then you'll be able to judge Dina Mamos, monetary cases, and Dina Nefashos, capital cases. And we have a Mishnah where Rabbi Yishmael says that if you want to become wise, you should occupy yourself with Dine Mamonos, monetary cases, because that's the greatest area of Torah. Shmuel Bar Nachmani says that one who shames himself over Torah is uplifted, meaning if you're not embarrassed to ask questions, even though, you know, if you embarrass yourself to ask questions, even though, you know, you might make you look bad, then you'll be uplifted in the end. But one who muzzles himself, there'll be a hand that covers his mouth, meaning if you're just too embarrassed to ever ask questions, then you're not going to get anywhere. Rav Nechemya praised his hosts, and he says Yitro only came to Moshe for his own honor, but it still says that, you know, his hosting of Moshe and Bnei Yisrael and all that was a chesed to Bnei Yisrael. It was a big charity to Bnei Yisrael. And all the more so, one who hosts the Talmud Chacham, you know, which is not for his own honor, and he's feeding them and doing all this for them, that's going to be really a big chesed to Bnei Yisrael. It's a really great thing. Rabbi Yossi says that you have to show gratitude to the Egyptians for hosting us, even though they enslaved us and they did it only for their benefit. So all the more so, one who hosts a Talmud Chacham and has no ulterior motives, meaning, unlike the Egyptians, all the more so, he's going to be, you know, praised, and you have to show gratitude to him. Shkach.